Numbers 21 through 22:20. When the Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was coming by the way of Atharim, he fought against Israel and took some of them captive. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed hand over this people to me, then I will utterly destroy their cities." The Lord heard the voice of Israel and turned over the Canaanites. Then they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and the place was named Hormah. Then they set out from Mount Hor, by the way of the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey. So the people spoke against God and Moses, "Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and we are disgusted with this miserable food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, because we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Intercede with the Lord, that he will remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, and put it on a flagpole, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten and looks at it will live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, and put it on the flagpole, and it came about that if the serpent bit someone, and he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now the sons of Israel moved out and camped in Oboth. Then they journeyed from Oboth and camped at Iabarim, in the wilderness which is opposite of Moab, to the east. From there they set out and camped in Wadi Zered. From there they journeyed and camped on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that comes out of the border of the Amorites, for the Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. For that reason, it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, "Waheb in Suppah, and the wadis of the Arnon, and the slope of the wadis, that extends to the site of Ar, and leans to the border of Moab." From there they continued to Beer, that is the well where the Lord said to Moses, "Assemble the people, that I may give them water." Then Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing to it, the well which the leaders dug, which the nobles of the people hollowed out, with the scepter and with their staffs." And from the wilderness they continued to Mattanah, and from Mattanah to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth to the valley that is in the land of Moab, at the top of Pisgah, which overlooks the desert. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through your land. We will not turn off into field or vineyard. We will not drink water from wells. We will go by the king's road until we have passed through your border." But Sihon would not permit Israel to pass through his border. Instead, Sihon gathered all his people and went out against Israel in the wilderness and came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Then Israel struck him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, as far as the sons of Ammon, for the border of the sons of Ammon was Jazer. Israel took all these cities, and Israel lived in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon and in all her villages. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab, and had taken all his land out of his hand, as far as the Arnon. For that reason, those who use proverbs say, "Come to Heshbon, let it be built, so let the city of Sihon be established. For a fire spread from Heshbon, a flame from the town of Sihon. It devoured Ar of Moab, the dominant heights of the Arnon. Woe to you, Moab! You are destroyed, people of Chemosh. He has given his sons as fugitives, and his daughters into captivity, to an Amorite king, Sihon. But we have shot them down with arrows. Heshbon is destroyed as far as Dibon. Then we have laid waste as far as Nophah, which reaches to Medeba. So Israel lived in the land of the Amorites. Now Moses sent men to spy out Jazer, and they captured its villages, and dispossessed the Amorites who were there. Then they turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, went out against them, with all his people, for battle at Edrei. But the Lord said to Moses, "Do not fear him, for I have handed him over to you, and all his people and his land, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon." So they killed him and his sons and all his people, until there were no survivors left, and they took possession of his land. Then the sons of Israel journeyed on, and camped in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan, opposite Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So Moab was in great fear because of the people, for they were numerous, and Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel. Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this horde will eat up all that is around us, as the ox eats up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was the king of Moab at the time. So he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the Euphrates River, in the land of the sons of his people, to call for him, saying, "Behold, a people came out of Egypt. Behold, they have covered the surface of the land, and they are living opposite me. Now, therefore, please come, curse this people for me, because they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he who you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian left with the fees for divination in their hands, and they came to Balaam and repeated Balak's words to him. And he said to them, "Spend the night here, and I will bring word back to you, just as the Lord may speak to me." And the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent word to me, 'Behold, there is a people who came out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the land. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I will be able to fight against them and drive them out.' But God said to Balaam, 'Do not go with them. You shall not curse this people, for they are blessed.' So Balaam got up in the morning and said to Balak's representatives, 'Go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you.' And the representatives from Moab got up and went to Balak, and said, 'Balaam refused to come with us.' Then Balak sent representatives once again, more numerous and more distinguished than the previous. They came to Balaam and said to him, 'This is what Balak the son of Zippor says: I beg you, let nothing keep you from coming to me, for I will indeed honor you richly, and I will do whatever you tell me. Please come then, curse this people for me.' But Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, 'Even if Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything, either small or great, contrary to the command of the Lord my God. Now please, you also stay here tonight, and I will find out what else the Lord will say to me. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, If the men have come to call you, rise and go with them, but you shall do only the thing that I tell you. John 4. So then, when the Lord knew that the Pharisee had heard that he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, rather his disciples were, he left Judea and went away again to Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of the land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired from his journey, was just sitting by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. So the Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, though you are a Jew, are asking me for a drink, though I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus replied to her, If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who is saying to you, Give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water. She said to him, Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself, and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw water. He said to her, Go, call your husband, and come here. The woman answered and said to him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You have said correctly, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This which you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and yet you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one must worship. Jesus said to her, Believe me, woman, that a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming, and even now has arrived, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one speaking to you. At that point, his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, What are you seeking? Why are you speaking with her? So the woman left her water pot and went to the city and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is he? They had left the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, No one brought him anything to eat, did he? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, There are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the one who sows and the one who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have come into their labor. Now, from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word, and they were saying to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and know that this one truly is the Savior of the world. And after 2 days, he departed from there for Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, only because they had seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. Therefore, he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water into wine, and there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and began asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. The royal official said to him, Sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, Go, your son is alive. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went home. And as he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was alive. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, Yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the hour in which Jesus said to him, Your son is alive. And he himself believed, and his entire household. This is again a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come from Judea into Galilee. Second Corinthians 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all people, revealing yourselves that you are a letter of Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence we have toward God through Christ. Not that we are adequate in ourselves, so as to consider anything as having come from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, engraved in letters on stone, came with glory so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, how much more does the ministry of righteousness excel in glory? For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and we are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face, so that the sons of Israel would not stare at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Proverbs 25:21-28. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. The north wind brings rain, and a gossiping tongue brings an angry face. It is better to live on the corner of the roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Like cold water to weary a soul, so is good news from a distant land. Like a trampled spring and a polluted well, so is a righteous person who gives way before the wicked. It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glory to search out one's own glory. Like a city that is broken into and without walls, so is a person who has no self-control over his spirit. Psalm 57. Be gracious to me, God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, until destruction passes by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He rebukes the one who tramples upon me. God will send his favor and his truth. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who devour. Among sons of mankind, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, God. May your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. My heart is steadfast, God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your goodness is great to the heavens, and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, God. May your glory be above all the earth.